Good evening. It's good to see you, and we welcome you. We add my word of welcome for the visitors we have this evening. We appreciate that you're among us, and we invite you to come back and join us at every chance you have. We invite you to fill out a visitor card, and if you have any questions, we'd be happy to receive those from you, to discuss more God's word together and His will for our lives. Our interest is to know God's truth as He's revealed it in His word, the Bible, and then commit ourselves in faith to following it in our lives. And so that begins by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and repenting of our sins, and obeying that gospel to be saved from our sins. So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and yet you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to see your need to put your faith into action, to change your heart about the sin that's in your life, and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and live that confession by being baptized into Jesus, and then from this day forward, as a child of God, saved from your sins, grow in Him and serve Him as a faithful disciple. God's call to us and instruction to us as His people is to always examine ourselves and to confess sin and know that He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. So if we can pray together, if you have sin in your life, we urge you to confess it to the Lord. If we can help you because it's some public nature, we encourage you to use this chance, or if you need our prayers, we want to encourage that as well, that we can be of help to one another in our spiritual life before God. Thank you, John, for the reading of Galatians 1, verses 1 through 5, where we want to focus on what Paul said in verse 4 as he begins by acknowledging and reminding and stating very clearly that he was an apostle not of his own will. It wasn't from men. It wasn't by the work of man. Paul didn't attend some apostolic seminary so that he could get some kind of certificate and make him an apostle or make him a preacher of the gospel. But rather, he was an apostle by the will of God, appointed by Jesus Christ, and who was raised from the dead by the Father. And so he says, in writing to the churches of Galatia, that Christ gave Himself for our sins. He sacrificed Himself to rescue us, to deliver us from this present evil age. Verse 4. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is what is meant by this present evil age. Because he said Jesus died to deliver us from that. He gave Himself for our sins. So our sins are linked to this present evil age. This present evil age feeds our sin. They germinate there. They incubate there. They are brought to full growth there, and spiritual death occurs there. Jesus died to deliver us from those sins and this present, for our sins, to deliver us from this present evil age. So I want us to understand what He means by that term and what the Scriptures describe this evening as we investigate that a little bit. It's the same word Jesus used in Matthew 28, verse 20, in the Great Commission when He said, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Some versions may say the end of the world. It's the idea of the end of an era. So this present time frame, this present era, so it can speak of the present one and until the end of this age. It can also be used to talk about the age to come, the era or the time or period yet to come. Mark 10, it uses it that way. It's used that way. The word is. It says, Jesus says, "In this world you'll have, in this time you'll have persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life." So in the age, period, era, ion is the Greek word. We get our word eons from it. But Jesus, or Paul, described it as a present evil age. So it's a period of time of evil, where evil is resident. The word world in the New Testament, we talk often about the world and don't love the world, and we're not to be of the world, and yet we live in the world. The word world is translated by two different Greek words in the Greek language. And one of them is cosmos, the one that we've been that passage like 1 John 2 and verse 15 uses. When John says, love not or do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. So the idea of world there, cosmos, is a system, like we would think of cosmos or a solar system, a system of evil. In that context, the world is a system of evil. It's in opposition to God. It is the dominion of Satan. And we're not to love it. We're to identify those things that are of it. And we understand the outcome of it is eternal death. But now there's also this word that's age in Galatians 1:8. Sometimes it's translated world, depending on your translation. Ion, which means a period of time, and it can carry the application of the spiritual and moral climate or trait of the age, of the present age, the present evil age. He associates the age with evil in that passage, Galatians 1 and verse 4. Now, in Galatians 1 and verse 5, the word is used again, and it's translated forever and ever. You see, you come across a passage that says forever and ever, it's going to use that same word, ion. So it has multiple applications and variances, nuances of meaning, definition, but it carries essentially the idea of a period of time, and what we're wanting to look at is particularly this idea of a present evil age, an age that's associated or has associated with it evil. And of course, that was true in the first century, and it's true today. And so while there are the lusts of the flesh, lust of the eye, a pride of life, that is the system of evil, it is that system of evil that presents itself in this present world, in this time in which we live. And you say, well, that's not much of a distinction. Well, there is a distinction between the two words. Vine says that ion is always to be distinguished from cosmos, even when they seem to express the same idea. Let me show you a couple of places as we begin this study tonight. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 18 and 19, uses both of these words in the same passage. Paul wrote, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, okay, there's ion, in this age, at this present time, in this present world, if anyone thinks he's wise, let him become a fool that he may become wise. So the wisdom that he is warning us about in 18 is the wisdom of this age, characterized by this age. For the wisdom of this world, now he uses verse 19, he uses the other word, cosmos. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So the present age, when it gives itself over to lust and to opposing God, has a wisdom of its own. So there's the wisdom of the age that presents itself in opposition to God. Again, in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, the apostle says, well, verse 1, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, or the age of this world. Okay, so here the idea of age is a course of time, a period of time. We walked according to the course, according to the environment, the climate, the atmosphere, the moral atmosphere, the immorality of the moment, of the age, in this world, in this system that is in opposition to God. Okay. So he uses age, he uses ion and cosmos in the same verse. It's a course of life that opposes God. We were there. You see, we indulge the flesh and its lusts and the things that were evil in this present age. They germinate here, as I said before, they germinate here, they incubate here, and they develop and they mature in this present age. And so the present age is defined by evil at times in verses. And says that's why Jesus died, to rescue us, to deliver us from this present evil age, because its wisdom is defined by things that oppose God. Its conduct is centered upon a life that is evil and against the will of God. The present age is evil in that respect, and we're warned about it. Now, notably, Scripture says Satan is the god of this present age, this present time that is associated with evil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in those who are perishing, and in whose who minds the god of this age have blinded. So the god of this age actually should be 3 and 4 on that chart. The god of this age, that ion, Satan is the god of this period of time. As he rules this course, and he does that because we obey unrighteousness. Romans 6:16. He wouldn't rule us except that we let him rule us. We make that decision. You see, he doesn't force it on us. It's not like, well, he's automatically everybody's ruler. No. In this present age, it's because we present ourselves to obey unrighteousness that we are the slaves of unrighteousness, that we are the servants of Satan. But he is described as the god of this age, of this aeon, of this period, and this moment. Now look at Ephesians 6 with me. Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12 says, Satan, or rather says, our fight is against Satan and his forces, right? We struggle against what? The rulers of darkness of this age. There's the word again. Look at that. Let's read that passage. Ephesians 6. Beginning in 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. There's our ion of this course, this environment of evil, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So take up the whole armor of God. And he goes on. See, the powers that exist at this present time, given to those things that oppose God, show themselves to be evil. And Satan is shown to be the god of that age. He's the god of this age. And we've got to acknowledge that, because the people of this age, as in the people of the first century, willingly yield themselves to serve the things that are evil and those things that oppose God. So by being worldly, we become a part of the present evil age. You see, when we oppose God, then we become part of the evil age that Jesus died to deliver us from. That's about as clear I know how to say it. When we oppose God, when we choose to sin, then we're a part of the evil age that Jesus died to save us from. And we've got to change that. But there's got to be conversion through faith, through Christ, to change that so that we're no longer a part of the present evil age. But I want to delve a little bit more into that present evil age and see that Jesus said in Luke 16 in verse 8, that the sons of this age, and he uses this term, he said that the sons of this world, and it's the same word, aeon, the sons of this age, are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And you remember the context of his parable was because of the unjust steward. He had misappropriated the funds of his master, and when he's called to account, he makes arrangements with the the creditors to pay less than they were due, but what that amounted to, and they'd owe him. He'd have some recourse when his master said, "You can no longer be steward." And Jesus acknowledged the shrewdness of that in his parable, and he goes on to make some applications, some spiritual applications for us about the more important treasures that we need to be faithful in. But his idea of shrewdness here, I want to key on a minute. The sons of this age are more shrewd in their generation, in their time, than sons of light. What does that mean? What can we learn from that? An application here that we can look at a little bit is sometimes they exercise more practical skill in advancing their evil than we do in advancing what's righteous. Let me note what I'm talking about. Jesus said we're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we're supposed to have this element of shrewdness, of wisdom, wise as serpents, and yet harmless. Now, the sons of this world or this age are not harmless. Their shrewdness is not defined by righteousness. Our shrewdness is to be defined by righteousness. But the fact of the matter is, the sons of this age promote and spread evil in this present age. They are about assimilating the naive into their evil, drawing the unsuspecting into association with them, into their evil. They're shrewd. And we need to acknowledge that, see that, and equip ourselves against it. You know, Paul was trying to do that when he was marking those that caused divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine. He said, they serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple or the naive or the unsuspecting. If we're the naive, the simple, the unsuspecting, if we're not aware of the shrewdness of the sons of this age, we can be sucked in by their influence into sin ourselves. Amen. And that's what I want to point out a little bit here for a few minutes about this idea of the sons of this present age. The sons of this present age redefine sin to accommodate self, to accommodate pleasure, and to accommodate personal comfort. Now, you guys say, let me get a little more specific here in some applications here. And I wanted to do this before I looked at the specifics, but you know, it's in our face all the time, and we have to see it for what it is and try to respond in a godly way. And what I'm talking about is the present LGBTQ agenda. The agenda of progressive immorality. The agenda of the postmodern world that says there are no standards of truth unless you try to say there's a standard, and then we're going to be against you, right? The sons of this present age, they are adept at advancing their agendas. And I think the LGBTQ illustration shows that. We could make an application of false teachers in the church as well. Some who've advanced their false doctrines. And you can go down the list, whatever you'd like to talk, whether it's from causing doubt about the plan of salvation, to causing doubt about the music we're to use in worship, to causing doubt about a divorce and remarriage, to causing doubt about the organization and work of a local church. Authority, we were talking about that before services, Lauren and I were a little bit. All of these things, the sons of this age are adept at pressing their agenda. And here's part of their shrewdness. They redefine sin. They redefine it to accommodate what they wish to accommodate. The bottom line of it is a defiance toward God, but you see, they reverse the moral distinctions. In Isaiah chapter 5, 20 and 21, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil,
Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So here's the wisdom of this age. It was true in Isaiah's day. It's true in Paul's day. It's true in our day. Men's wisdom redefines sin out of existence. So it doesn't matter as long as you're sincere how you worship God, you see. And they write out of existence, they redefine false doctrine, false worship, vain worship. You know, God made me this way, so my gender is fluid. And who are you to say anything else? That's a good thing. And on it goes. Now, that's what the sons of this present age, evil age, do. But you see, that can have a profound influence on God's people. Over time, you see, we can be sucked into this thinking of accommodating ourselves, of satisfying ourselves, as we're living around that every day. As we have that contact in this world, and we can't leave the world. Paul made that point in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, you'd have to leave the world to get away from the immoral people of the world. So we're going to have to do something to prevent this from happening. In Amos 6 and verse 1, and of course the prophets are full of confirmation of this point, God's people were affected by and were brought to this idea of evil is really good and good is really evil, and they had become at ease in Zion. You know, they were indulging themselves. They weren't living by the standard of hating evil and loving good. Now, if you even say you hate evil, you're just a hater and a bias. You know, even if you say there's a moral right and a moral wrong, then you're biased, you're hate, you're what's the list? Xenophobe, homophobe, phobia, everything, right? Well, that didn't roll off my tongue very easily, like some people. Right? In Amos 5, what God say through His prophet? He told Israel, Amos 5:15, hate evil, love good. But now, you see, the shrewdness of the sons of this age is to begin to convince people, if you hate evil, you're a hater. And they begin to convince you that what's evil is really good. And we see it in our politicians, we see it in our entertainers, we see it in our music, we see it everywhere. We are bombarded with that. And if we think that that can't have an influence on us, we are merely deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. And we have to change that ourselves, because the sons of this world are not going to change it. They're not. That's their agenda. And I think it was last week, Brother Heath Rogers had a good article on this in our bulletin. Pull up and look at that again. It doesn't affect me. The attitude, it doesn't affect me. But it does affect us. History shows it. The Word of God shows it. That's the shrewdness of the sons of this age. See, it continues by preaching tolerance and diversity for the sake of peace. Because who likes anything that's not peaceful? Jeremiah 6:14, they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Well, the people were covetous, led by the prophets and the priests. And the sons of this present age call upon us to tolerate, and not just tolerate, but to accept, and demonize those who would do otherwise. That has a profound influence on the people of God. In Jeremiah's day, with that kind of a message repeated over and over, peace, peace, everything for peace, verse 16 said, stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walking in, and you'll have rest for your souls. And they said, we'll not walk in it. Over time, God's people, you see, are affected to accept a complacency toward what God's Word really is. Zephaniah 1 and in verse 13. That was the problem in that day. Zephaniah's contemporary to Jeremiah a little bit earlier. But some of the same time. And he said, it's come to pass at that time, I'll search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will He do evil. That's the message today of the world and sons of this present age, is everything's good. Chill out. But you see, standards gradually shift to one of acceptance.
Brethren gradually shift to say, well, you can divorce for a lot of different reasons. Just don't remarry.
Well, the Word of God said, let what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But you know, and things that used to be rejected are now accepted. Television has soft porn. And even not so soft, I suppose, these days. The immorality is rampant in the movies, on the television. And what happens? Are we gradually shifting and letting them change our mindset? And begin to accept it, tolerate it, receive it? To the point where when we start preaching against these things, then we're the troublemaker? When we speak about immodest dress, when we preach about social drinking, when we preach about premarital sex, when we preach about sins of the flesh, sins of the opposition to God, love of the lust of the flesh, eye, pride of life, that we become the agitator. Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Galatians 4:16. If somebody telling me the truth has become my enemy, then something's out of whack. Something's out of whack. That's the message of the sons of this present age. But they're shrewd about bringing that along because, you see, they continue to preach circumstances and situations over moral accountability. And they preach liberty over conviction. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Peter says, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a man is overcome, or a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Well, you see, the sons of this present age tell us that everything, morality is situational. I mean, your gender is situational. Your life partner is situational. Your religion is situational. I mean, it's all just a matter of liberty. It's all just a matter of your own choice. What satisfies, what pleases you. But you see this in 1 Corinthians 1. Now see, that's the wisdom of this age. The wisdom of this age that Paul warned about in 1 Corinthians 3:18. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1 and you see the sharp contrast between that and the gospel. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25, but we'll just read a couple of these verses. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. So to the sons of this present age who are perishing, living in sin, the gospel is foolish, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This is God saying He will do this by His power, not by the wisdom of man. And the gospel overwhelms the wisdom of man. He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Where is the eloquent man of the moment that can stand against the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, you'll go on in chapter 2 to say, we speak wisdom not of this age, verse 6 of chapter 2. Again, there's our word. But we speak the wisdom of God in the gospel. It's inspired by God. Revelation, inspiration, confirmation with miracles. See, that's what we're up against, is the sons of this present age, they dialogue and dispute. They're very eloquent in their presentations, but they don't know truth because they don't know God. They don't know God, they don't know truth. They're like the Athenians. They consume themselves with telling and hearing some new thing, but they never come to a knowledge of the truth.
2 Timothy 3 and verse 7. Now, for the sons of this present age, that's enough. See, they think they've achieved to wisdom by being able to talk about different points of view, but never really deciding on one, because if you decide on one, then you might become judgmental. And we don't want to be judgmental. We don't want to be biased. You see, and all those buzzwords that we've been conditioned to reject. Well, we're supposed to judge righteous judgment. But we've been conditioned by the present age to never make a judgment. Because, you know, how can you do that? Because you're a sinner too. Well, you see, there's a difference between rendering righteous judgment, even though we're sinners, and one who hypocritically judges. And that's what the Bible warns us against. And that's what's happening in John 8 when he said, "He's without sin, let him cast the first stone." They were sinning at that very moment. And yet they were condemning the woman. That was the sin of the moment. But see, the world, the present age, conditions us to think if we stand in opposition to anything that's immoral, we condemn ourselves. That's wrong.
Amen.
That's not the Word of God. And yet, that's the conditioning of this present evil age. Shrewdness. They're shrewd. You see. Play upon the desire that people have to be right to the point that they can silence you through their pressure. And of course, there's other factors as well. Well, what I wanted you to note here, though, and as this progression goes, is finally, when we accept the tolerance, when we accept the compromise with the world and its embrace of evil, we finally fall away from God. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present age.
2 Timothy 4 and verse 10.
Love this present age. There were things about the present age that held sway in Demas' heart. And he became entangled. And that's what happens. We become entangled and overcome by the very things that the gospel frees us from. Jesus died to do what? Deliver us from this present evil age. But 2 Peter describes a situation where people are again entangled and overcome, so that the last state's worse than the first.
The sons of this present age are trying very diligently to draw us into their sphere, into their environment. And by doing that, cause us to fall away from God. Now, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live in this present evil age? Titus 2, 11 and 12 answers that for us. Titus, the second chapter, 11 and 12. For the grace of God the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. There's our word again, the present age. This present moment of time, as we look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. So we're to be zealous for good works, not calling evil good, but the good works of God. Now, first of all, He says we've got to deny some things. If we're going to, how we have to live in this present world with evil around us and the shrewdness of the people of this age, we're going to have to resist, deny, put away ungodliness and worldly lust. That draws us back to 1 John 2 about not loving the evil that opposes God, that lives in this present age. We're to not love the world. James, the fourth chapter. James talks about being an enemy of God. If we if we befriend the world. 1 Peter 4 is another verse that talks about this in terms of doing the will of God from the heart. We're to have the same mind of Christ. We've got to have a new mind to produce a new life that does not run with those of this age to sin. We don't join in with the sin of the age. We stand apart from that. We don't participate in that. We have to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what God's grace teaches us. See, here's what the sons of the present age tell us. They tell us grace allows you to do all these things. God's grace is so magnificent, it just is greater than all your sins and whatever sins you may have, God's going to forgive you without all those conditions that you're talking about, preacher. You know, you talk about obeying God, and well, nobody can do that perfectly. God's grace is going to take care of it. And so they distort grace, they distort obedience, they distort faith. That's the shrewdness of the sons of this age, religiously applied. And yet, Word of God says no, we can reject those false definitions. God's grace teaches us that we're supposed to deny sin. God's grace says, if you want to live in my grace, then you deny worldly lusts. You don't accommodate it and then appeal to grace as your shield. Something very different than what we hear a lot of people say when they talk about grace. God's Word says that grace has also taught us how to live. You see, here's the further application of that. So we've got to put off certain things. We've got to put away sin, and we've got to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Soberly, the word here is about moderation and discretion. Moderation and discretion. The world, this present age is not moderate. It's not. I heard one stat the other day about the, I don't remember all, I guess I shouldn't bring it up, you know, stats, and you can make them say whatever you want to, right? Some people say, but it was just talking about how maybe, I think he said 10% of the alcohol drinkers in America drink like, I don't know, 70 drinks a week. The top 10% of drinkers. That's not moderation in any way. But of course, now today, we're told it's okay to drink moderately, Christian. Just don't go overboard. Well, that's not what Paul's saying here, and that's not what the Scripture's saying. When he says moderate, he's saying have the restraint of sober thinking and the discretion to live according to truth, to distinguish the things that differ, Philippians 1, 9, and 10, so that we can bear the fruit of righteousness, Philippians 1 and verse 11. It's the word that she used in Titus 2 and verse 2, where the apostle tells the older men to be temperate. Temperate. Interesting. There's a temperate, what were the temperate societies against drinking? Right? Soberness. That's just an application of the concept, of the principle. Our whole life is to be defined by that. Temperate. You know, sometimes we grow older, we think we have a right to just let it all hang out there any way we want. No, we don't. It's not our right. It's not God's will for us. We're to be moderate. Women, he said, verse 5, older women, you teach the younger women to be discreet. The word discreet, same word. It's used three times in that chapter. Comes from the grace of God that teaches us to be temperate, to be discreet, to be sober in our thinking and our conduct. We're to live righteously. The idea of justice and fairness and equity is embedded within that, of being upright in character and conduct, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Romans 13, 8 through 10. The commandments of God, really, we're at the heart of that, of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So that's what we owe everybody. Romans 13, 8. Present world doesn't live by love. No, just the opposite. Covetousness, greed, selfishness, rivalry,
competition, getting on top and staying there. But God's grace teaches us to live godly with piety.
2 Timothy 2 and 22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart."
Call on the Lord to have piety, to live Godward. Not inward. Not selfishly, but toward God. Live in the presence of God, because we are in His presence every day. And grace teaches us not to assimilate the world, this present age. See, Romans 12 and verse 2.
Important verse in this whole study as we begin to bring these thoughts to a conclusion. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "Do not be fashioned or conformed to this world." The word "world" there is age.
It's not the 1 John 2 word that says, "Don't love the world." It's the Galatians 1:4 word, the present evil age. He says, "Don't be conformed to this age." Now, here's our question. Are we conformed to this age? Do we think like this age? Do we conduct ourselves like this age? Do we accept the entertainment of this age? Do we have the values of this age? Are we of this age or not? He says, if we're not going to be of this age, if we're not going to allow the shrewdness of the sons of this age to assimilate us, resistance is futile, right? Right, Mike? Resistance is not futile. We don't have to be assimilated into the collective. We don't have to think like this present age. What do we have to do? He says, transform your mind by renewing. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't accept the mind of this present age. You transform your mind. You renovate. You renew the way you think. Because we all used to think that way. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. We were all there. Remember Ephesians 2, 2? "We all once walked according to the course of this world, the age of opposition to God." We've all been there. Now he says, change that. Don't be that any longer. Don't conform to the world's thinking, to this age's way of thinking. Instead, be shaped by truth, not by the present age. Remember what Jesus said to Pilate? Pilate said to Jesus, he said, "What is truth?" Because Jesus said, "Whoever is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said, "Well, what is truth?" Now that's the thinking of the present age. That's the wisdom of the present age. Truth is whatever you define it to be. And so we can define our gender whatever we say truth is. We can define whatever we want and say it's truth according to us. And it's good. And that's right. And you shouldn't say anything against it. No. God's Word says, "Thy Word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy Word is truth." That's what Jesus said. So, we cannot allow the sons of the present age to co-opt the words of Jesus and think that He stands on their side of thinking and their side of wisdom. He does not. God's Word is truth. If we're going to not be assimilated into the thinking of the present age, we've got to set and keep our priorities and not be distracted by the cares of this age. Remember the parable of the sower? It's fundamental. The parable of the sower in Mark 4th chapter, the seed that fell among the thorny soil, among the thorns, these are the ones that hear the word. "And the cares of this world," there's our word, age, "the cares of this age, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." What are the cares of this age in your life? What are the cares of this age? Things that distract you, things that distract me from the will of God, from seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, It may be entertainment. It may be something that's good in and of itself, but we allow it to take first place. It may be recreation. It may be all sorts of different things. It may be our work. It may be any of a number of things. Materialism, that's certainly a care of this world. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, Paul said to Timothy, remind those who are rich in this present age. He said present world, but it's our word age. Those who are rich in this present age, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on the living God. He says, don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, to store up treasures for eternal life. Priorities. If we're going to live in this present evil age, we've got to keep our priorities of truth, our priorities of seek first the rule and reign of God in our lives. Righteousness. To deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly. We've got to seek and follow the wisdom of God's Word. That's what 1 Timothy or Corinthians, we've already referred to all three of those verses. That's our point of wisdom. That's our point of a standard and of what we go by to define good and evil. It's truth, God's Word, as opposed to the wisdom of this age. And finally, we've got to put on the whole armor of God and fight. We already read the verse. We are battling. We are wrestling against the forces of darkness of this age. So we've got to put on the whole armor of God. We can't expect somebody else to fight that fight for us, because every day we have to fight that fight ourselves. Or the present age will assimilate us and we'll be thinking like the world, valuing like the world, living like the world, and dying like the world. You've got to put on God's armor and fight against those things that oppose God. This present evil age intends to destroy your faith. Make no mistake about it. Satan is subtle. His servants are deceptive. The sons of this age are shrewd. Bottom line is, this present age wants to destroy your faith. Beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is our call, is to guard ourselves, to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Preserve ourselves in love, he said. In love of God. Look for His mercy. Because the world, this age, not going to give you any mercy. Mercy is not found in this present age. It's a false mercy. It's a false moment of security, followed by an eternity of despair. We cannot think like the world. This world is passing away. We've got to do the will of God from the heart, Jude said. Word of God says, transform our mind. Think like God. Think like truth. Not think like this present age, because this present age is an evil heart of unbelief. It'll cause us to fall away from the living God. Well, I hope that our study has been useful, helpful to us to assess just what kind of thinking is directing us in our daily living. Present age of evil, or the truth of God, that we might show the good and perfect will of God in our lives. That's the rest of Romans 12 and verse 2, is that we may prove, that we may demonstrate what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is in our lives. Can't do the will of God if we think like this present evil age. We've got to think like truth presents. Think like God thinks. Think His wisdom, His righteousness. That begins by becoming a Christian, and it continues by living a life that builds us up in our faith, being established in the faith, and being secure in living by faith in doing the will of God. If we can help you accomplish that by being saved in Christ tonight, if you'll repent, confess your faith, and be baptized, Christ will save you. We'll help you do that. If you need to correct sin in your life as a Christian, won't you do that? While together we stand and we sing.